Hello and welcome to Rock and Roll, the third in our podcast series in which we interview our colleagues about their roles and lives in the world of testing. Today I'm joined by Stephen Natras, who is one of our senior test analysts. Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role here at Rock.
So I've worked at Rock for 9 years now, which makes me one of the longest serving staff members that Rock has. And I'm a senior test analyst here, although I've recently taken on additional responsibility for my own self-development, and I'm currently a test lead on a new project.
Okay, thank you for that overview. Some really interesting experience there. And you've obviously enjoyed working here at Rock for some time. Could you provide us with a little bit of background of how you became interested in a career in testing?
When I went to university, I did games design. And upon graduation, I ended up getting a job as a games tester, which, as glamorous and fun as it might sound to the gamers out there, wasn't all it cracked up to be for me. Didn't quite live up to what I was expecting. And through a colleague that I met there, he had heard about an opportunity in software testing that was in Preston, where I was based at the time. So I went for it and thought that a lot of the skills would be transferable, and they turned out to be very transferable. And I actually enjoyed a lot of the differences that software provided compared to games. There was a lot more structure, and I felt like I had a lot more professional opportunities and areas to develop. So that was why I ended up continuing in software testing.
Okay, and that's great. And that's a fantastic insight, actually, because it shows people that there are different avenues into this type of role and how you can obtain a career in software testing. So tell us about your biggest challenges at the moment. You said you're working in a different capacity in the role that you're doing. What are those challenges and what are you doing to overcome them?
So, yeah, I'm acting in a next level up role currently, which I'm greatly enjoying the challenge of. But I would say the biggest challenge within it is I'm working with a lot of different teams and a lot of different projects that all have professionals in who are knowledgeable in their realm of expertise, but perhaps have either outdated or no knowledge of testing as a concept. And so I'm trying to improve the testing process and bring a greater structure to the testing process. But a lot of these people aren't too familiar with testing conceptually, and subsequently part of the job becomes needing to explain alongside bringing in these methodologies and structures.
Okay, and we'll talk about those a bit more in a minute. But if I ask you to look ahead, maybe in 5 years' time, what do you think you'll be doing in your role then, and what are the obstacles that you see that are going to prevent you from kind of aspiring to that kind of goal?
I would hope that in the next 5 years, I can move up to test manager, the next level up from test lead. And I would say that one of the most significant challenges in that area is making sure that I always have opportunities that will challenge me and opportunities to acquire those next level experiences, and not just stay on one position, stay comfortable. I'll always move up to new challenges, new opportunities, and take them wherever they present themselves.
Okay, great stuff. And you've talked a number of times there about the existing role, and it sounds like you've got a lot of opportunity for self-development in there. What is in place for you within the organization that helps you grow in that role?
So I think that Rock has a lot of great systems in place now, and there's some that we're just in the process of rolling out. We recently rolled out a proper mentoring and mentee system, which I have a mentor who is an established test manager who provides really useful insights for my development, and I can go to with challenges that I'm facing, and it helps encourage the best me possible by learning what the best ways to do things are, or often just a sounding board for me to go to say, I was thinking that this is how I would solve this problem. Does this sound right? And then you get that feedback. But I also have opportunities often where, because we have projects along multiple different areas, we have a role rotation in place. So when you are on a role where you feel that you're not getting any more development, or you feel like you want a new challenge, there are facilities in place within ROC that allow you to gradually, obviously, depending on what the client has available, to gradually roll off and roll onto a new opportunity with a new challenge, which is how I ended up on the project that I am now.
Okay, that's great. So it sounds like there you get a combination of technical development and also development with life skills. Do you think that that's important?
I think that's very important, yes. I think that because software is in the name of our job and our role and our company, I think that often there is a perception that you would just get people who are very technical and just will be very quiet, perhaps aren't very sociable, very introverted. But when we are dealing with different clients and different projects, and then within those clients, there are different levels, different seniorities of staff, it is key to have good social skills and soft skills to be able to communicate the things that we are trying to put across. So we are in a technical field, as you say, and we can often be communicating technical things to not very technical people. And if we don't have the capability to communicate effectively and listen to what they're saying, but then also provide our own insights, then the system doesn't work as well as it could.
Great stuff, Steve. And that I agree with you. Those types of things are so important, because it's about helping people develop both professionally and with some of those skills that you might need to bring to the day-to-day operation. Okay, talking of communication skills then, you are the heart and soul of some of the social events that we do, and you like to keep people connected. So tell me about some of the things you've been able to get involved in on the more social side that keeps people connected.
So as we said at the start, I'm one of the longest serving staff members at ROC, and one of the things that's always kept me here is the great community that we have here and the great activities that we take part in and put out. So I'm one of our community ambassadors, which means I get involved in planning and organizing and taking part in a lot of the charity and community activities that we do. We just recently raised over £800 for Darien House, the local children's hospice, doing a power-up event, which was 24 hours of gaming with some of our colleagues. I also always go to the summer event, and I'm always keen to encourage more people to come to that we work with, because it's always fun activities that we do, and it's always good to connect to other members of the team. And that'll be especially true now that we're all working remotely and we don't get to see each other in the office as regularly as we used to. And I also run our office's favourite tournament competitions that I do somewhat regularly. Every year we do office's favourite chocolate bar, office's favorite fizzy drink, and then we also do different ones. So currently we're doing office's favorite pie or pasty, which has caused many a contentious debate amongst all of our colleagues.
Yes, I've seen them, and I've joined in one or two of those debates. But you know what? They are really important, because in this virtual world we live in, keeping people connected is a bigger challenge for organisations these days. So if you can do it at social level as well as at work and project level, I think that's great, and you certainly do a great job with that. Okay, so thinking while we're on the subject of food, one of the questions we've asked everybody who's joined one of these podcasts is, if you were going to Tesco's for your lunch, what would be your meal deal of choice?
Okay, so this is probably not going to be as exciting as some other options, but I go strong for chicken and bacon sandwich, boiled egg, and a smoothie. That's my set that I'm going for. Stops me from ruining my gym's effort in the morning by getting a chocolate bar or a packet of crisps.
Okay, that's a good effort. Lots of protein and healthy option there, so that's great. Okay, finally, if I can ask you one more thing. If I think about yourself, or you think about yourself at the beginning of your career again, what is the one piece of advice you would give yourself before you embarked on a career as a tester?
I think that the biggest bit of advice that I could give to myself back then would be to believe in myself a bit more. I've always been somewhat of a confident person, but especially in terms of my professional career, when I was in the early years of software testing, I would sometimes observe things that I didn't think were quite right, or I could come up with a potential improvement. But because I was so junior in the position, I would often either be hesitant or not quite convey that point, because I thought, I don't want to sound like I'm being patronizing or potentially say something stupid or rub someone up the wrong way who's probably more experienced and skilled than me. But as I've grown even more confident and developed in my career further, I found that often those observations were actually correct, and that I could probably have made some good changes and improvements even early on in my career if I'd just had a bit more confidence to actually believe in myself and say, I believe that there's a better way we can do this, instead of just assuming that I probably had the wrong idea and that my whoever was more skilled in that area than me.
Steve, that's a great kind of observation. And I think the takeout for me there is just have more confidence to have a voice. And if you see things that are not working or you think they can be done differently, then share those views. And the interesting thing is people consume and use things in so many different ways today that sometimes the established experts, may have a different view because of the things they've seen in the past. So I think it's great that you've highlighted that everybody should have a voice.
I think that goes back to what we said earlier about soft skills, that it's important to be able to convey these things, because often these things can just go overlooked, or it just takes one member of a team to notice something that nobody else noticed that might have just slipped under the radar to make all the improvement.
Brilliant. Steve, that has been a fantastic conversation with you today. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing your experience, and it certainly gives us a great insight into what your role is like here at ROC and how you got here. A big thank you to everybody who's been listening to this podcast today. We hope you'll join us in the future, because we've got more episodes coming up of Rock and Roll. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out. And if you're interested in hearing more about a career at ROC, then check out our latest roles on the ROC website and get in touch with our careers at roc.co.uk, because there are people who can talk to you about any opportunities we have and any careers that you'd like to join us with.